Welcome to the old time radio.
Come on, Danny. Danny Kaye, will you hurry up?
Oh, just a minute, Evie.
It's always just a minute with you. Come on.
Oh, now wait. I must pause to greet an old friend. Ah, greetings, old friend. I know things are pretty tough now, old pal. And yes, once you were popular in the money, but now you're broke, desolate, deserted, alone. But don't worry, old pal. You'll make a comeback someday.
Danny, do you have to go through that act every time you pass a cigarette machine?
But, Evie, they worry me. Standing around doing nothing, I wonder if they could put bananas in them.
You worry about everything but the things you should. Now, sit down here and read. I'm trying to tell you all day.
Gosh, how many letters did I get?
Think of a number.
One.
Bingo. Now read it.
Gosh, my first fan letter. I feel like a bride.
He sent me photographs of Harry James and Ken... Go through the park. Excuse? What made you late this morning?
Well, before I...
Anybody here know the alphabet?
Oh, I do.
No, I do.
We find him... Act One. Had a lasting theatrical fame in the following tense and gripping scene.
This is the end, infinitely.
No, Martha, you can't. You simply can't.
Oh, Roland, we've been all through this before.
But, Martha, give me another...
You, sitting there in the front row, will you keep out of this?
Mediocre.
Meteoric, Ken. Never makes a mistake when he reads a commercial.
No sooner did he get off the bus than he found himself in the middle of the Sam Goldwyn production, Up in R.
Thank you, Ken. Explain theater at a look. Hello, Fred, manic, and a rare screenplay by Gluck, from a stage play by Motz, from a story by Blip, from a chapter by Roger Mill, the Nicolanti by Thackeray, to Chicory by Dickory and Skirls. The opening scene.
In Orange, New Jersey, I will make a peach of a pear.
Hero, cowboy, Dan, a galloping, yodeling, buckaroo. His horse, of course, is a
wagon.
As the bell rings for Shamba, dancer, cowboy, Dan, who she met on this trip and who was lovely.
That's why she is eating her heart out. But through her tears, she is singing.
Hey, Cowboy Dan, he owns the biggest ranch in Texas, bar none.
Yes, yes, no, no, yes, yes.
But it was.
Can you tell your father? He is hounded by shrew.
Yeah. The dangerous German spy.
Stick. The picture's about to end.
But now.
I wish you could come with me to my little village in Bolivia. Where every nun...
When it's cherry blossom...
You, my life, give a... Letters from home as are important to it now. Write to our men and women overseas. And use V-mail. It's perfect mail forms and use them regularly. So that every time they hear the mail call, they will hear from you.
Well, I guess it's time to go now. But remember, folks, tune in again next Saturday. Directed by Dick Mack.
Rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one. The national thing is the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike. The symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless west of the...
In the territory, we occasionally hear tales of the great men back in the East. Ohio, Philadelphia, and New York. We hear of the private railway cars with crystal chandeliers and organs by such enterprise and genius. Of course, we too. She peddler. And this is my friend Midnight.
Midnight.
He never makes better than 60%. But perhaps the greatest example of the modern sitting in the Bull Run Saloon. And in through the swinging doors came my good friend Doc Sixgun. Bottle.
Well, unfortunately, they don't postpone little things like childbirth for the weather.
Oh, anyone I know?
Molly Younger, out of Cottonwood Flat. Swim. I dried out a little bit at the... The hand out at the barrel lay with some kind of fever. Well, won't even be able to swim it for tonight.
It's a funny thing, Doc. Last summer, the ranchers lost half their stock in drought, and...
you look a little damp.
I am. Can I get you something?
The usual, I'll say.
Ain't no coffee left in the pot, Doc. I'll have to make up some.
No.
Looked like a flatboat going north and downstream with two gals sitting on the shore. Charlie says he don't know whether the coach will get through tonight, though. They'll have to go around south by the Platte and see if they can get across old Baldy Creek.
Stage is in.
Hey, what do you know?
Well, they made it.
O'Shea, set me up a double of that poison. You
may
walk around old Baldy. Finally, swimmer steam. I'm going to mount a paddle wheel on the hind end of my coach and trade in my reins for a rudder. I quit.
Well, it ain't so doggone funny with that little short-tailed creek roaring like it's the Colorado River in flood time.
I tell you what, I need it. Passenger.
In weather like this.
A little scrunchy easterner. Like to blew away when we come over the pass. When we got into old Baldy, we bore. Then we hauled him back on board and tied him next to your medicine box. I ain't never seen a sorrier sight.
See? Boy, you sure it's the same fella? He ain't covered with no mud.
Oh, he's dressed as pretty as a New Orleans gambler from the Bardi.
I seen
thing. Might host a glass.
You mean me?
Why, yes, I think if you are the proprietor of this establishment.
Yeah.
My good friend the charioteer, recovering from your labors, I see.
Well, where'd you get them dry clothes, mister? Last time I seen you, you looked...
A meeting man for a delightful trip. A bit nautical in spots, but otherwise delightful.
O'Shea, pour me another.
Permit Street.
All them dance halls and other places, eh?
Oh, no. I refer to the Wall Street gentleman, the original... Surely you've heard of it.
Okay.
That's all right, O'Shea. Mr. Cale means it as a compliment.
Didn't sound like no compliment to me.
May I have the pleasure, sir?
I'm Dr. Matson.
Doctor, I'm a good publican. This, I take it, is my refreshment.
It's whiskey. I don't guarantee nothing.
It will do.
We don't have none of that out here. Only crops.
Crops? Oh, yes. I have begun to get the notion, gentlemen, that I... Vision, gentlemen.
Is that right?
Gentlemen, I ask you, where is the future of this country? Where is the land which holds the destiny of this... I know nothing of prospecting, but prospecti? That is a different story.
What kind of heathen talk is that?
Do I understand? Classic cave. You will, Doctor. You and the entire nation when the time is right. In the meantime, gentlemen, I offer you a toast. To Frenchmen's...
You're on until this here rain stops.
Precisely, gentlemen. Precisely. Shall we drink to it?
He was a cheerful little man, and he was dressed something like a cross, but his face was smooth as a baby's. All the rest of the evening, he sat at the table at the Bull Run and told us tales of that season.
Jim, mark my words, you'll never corner the gold market without my help. But did he listen, gentlemen?
Did he?
When I was consulted by William Vincent Astor on the matter of real estate. Bill, I told him, 42nd Street may be out in the country.
Doc had been called away on his case early in the evening. And when he got back, Mr. Cale had retired to his...
See you in a minute, Doc. I kept the coffee pot on the back of the stove. It's strong as boiled gunpowder, but it's coffee.
Thanks, O'Shea. Well, that's the end of it up at the Rio Verde. There was a log jam up at the Box Canyon. Gave way. Nobody's going to get across that river anymore.
Yeah, here you are, Doc. She's hot, but she'll claw your throat on the way down.
Good.
Say, you missed all entertainment, Doc.
Somebody get shot?
No. It was a real peaceful evening. I mean that typhoon.
Typhoon?
Yeah, that financial genius. Hey, ain't that what you call him?
I don't think so. A typhoon is a big wind.
Yeah. Well, anyways, he can really spin a yarn. Did you know that Jim Fisk built a house with corners made out of pure gold?
No, I can't say as I heard that.
Well, he tried to. Mr. Cale told him he couldn't do it. I reckon the gold didn't hold nails.
Sounds like an exciting evening.
Yeah, it was. I didn't have no idea at all, Doc, that them bankers and such worked like that. According to this here Cale, Running the bank is like drawn to an inside street in a strange town with other fellers' deck.
Well, that sounds like a good description.
Now, of course, if you know the dealer, it's different, ain't it, Doc?
I suppose so.
That's what I figured. Well, good night, Doc.
Wait a minute, O'Shea.
Hmm?
What are you talking about? What did this Mr. Cale tell you?
Well, now, Doc, you wouldn't want me to violate a confidence, would you?
Well, no, I suppose not.
Well, all I can tell you, Doc, is that when this here town becomes the roaring, bustling metropolis of the new Atlantis, just you wait and see who is going to have the biggest saloon.
O'Shea, you've been drinking your own whiskey.
No, Doc, but just wait and see, that's all.
It rained again the next day, and the day after. Doc was busy in town with an endless stream of sore throats and fevers from the cold and damp. But in the Bull Run, strange things were happening.
Hey, O'Shea! O'Shea! Where is that lop-eared, swill-serving idiot?
What's the matter, Charlie, eh?
Peddler, I've been standing here for 5 mortal minutes, waiting to turn over my good money for that bad whiskey.
Yeah?
Nary hiding a hair of O'Shea have I seen.
Why, you wouldn't leave the bar unattended.
I'd reach over and dip up some of that whiskey if I wasn't afraid my hand would dissolve in the fumes.
O'Shea! Keep your shirt on.
How do you like that? Why, a man in his position is a public servant. It's like me with the mail. Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor saddle sores, nor hostile Indians is supposed to keep me from my duty. And concern it ought to be the same with him.
Now, what is the idea, Charlie, making a racket like that?
Are you still selling whiskey, or are you giving up and going into dry goods?
Hang on, you'll get your drink. I got more important things to do than dish out rot gut to cantankerous stage drivers.
Now, wait a minute, just hold on.
What's the matter?
Now, listen, O'Shea, it's all right for me to call your whiskey poison and rot gut, but it ain't fitting for you to do it.
What are you blithering about now?
Well, if you ain't got no confidence in your stock, well, I ain't going to buy none. I'll just take my trade somewheres else.
Yeah? Just, where do you figure to take it, Charlie? I got the only saloon in Frenchman's Ford, and this here town is surrounded on 4 sides by water. The only other drink you can get retail is a physic up to Dock Six Guns, or horse liniment down to the livery stable. The only other whiskey in town is in closed barrels down to the express office, and that is on consignment to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I reckon you're right. Well, in that case, I guess I'll reconsider.
That's better. Now, what'll it be, barrel or bottle?
Discovered the fiscal influence of Mr. Cale until the next day when Doc dropped in for dinner at the Bull Run.
Doc, have you ever been in on the ground floor?
Often. That's where I keep my horse.
Oh, now, Doc, be serious. I mean it. How'd you like to be in on the inside of the biggest financial syndicate since John Jacob Astor?
Not very much.
Now, Doc, that ain't the way to talk.
O'Shea, just what is all this? Is that Cale fella working some skin game on you?
Doc, it ain't no skin game. He's on the level.
Oh, sure.
I mean it. Doc, you are talking to the president of the Frenchman's Ford Land and Natural Resources Development Company. Cale's the treasurer.
I figured he would be.
Now, Doc, you lack confidence.
I certainly do. Just what are you developing with this company, O'Shea?
Well, you know, like it says, natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, you're a good friend of mine, and I want to give you a chance before the small, smart Wall Street men snap up all the stock.
O'Shea, you simple-minded idiot. Why don't you just take your money and put it in a great big gunny sack and hand it to this sharper?
Now, Doc, you ain't being fair. Mr. Cale ain't no sharper. He's a financier.
I can't understand it, O'Shea. You can spot a deadbeat in the Bull Run the length of the bar. How can you be so confounded foolish about Cale?
Doc, you really think he's going to skin me?
Why, he's practically got you stuffed and mounted.
Well, I don't know. He sounds real convincing and when he gets to talk about them railroad fellers and millionaires and all.
Now, look, O'Shea. Have you given him any money yet?
No, not yet.
Well, that's good. There isn't a doubt in my mind that your Mr. Jared Cale is crooked as a dog's hind leg.
Doctor, what? Good morning. Did I hear you mention my name?
You might have.
Doc here says it's a skin game. He says you're out to fleece me.
Well, well, we meet that sort of thing all the time in our profession. Now, don't let it worry you, Mr. O'Shea.
What do you mean, don't let it worry me? Are you or ain't you?
Mr. O'Shea, I know of only one way to meet an insinuation of this sort. Now, how much money have we discussed as your share of the capital investment?
$2,000.
Well, gentlemen, do you recognize this banknote?
Yes, that's a note on the Drover's Bank of Chisholm City.
A sound bank, gentlemen?
Yes.
Well, here, sir, are $5,000 in banknotes issued by the Drover's National. More than twice Mr. O'Shea's investment. Here you are, Doc.
What do you mean? What are you giving him to me for?
I want you to hold this money in escrow, as it were, to prove my good faith. This would more than cover any money Mr. O'Shea risks in the company.
Well, now, that seems fair, don't it, Doc?
Well, yes. Yes, I suppose it does. They're good notes, all right.
Well, there you are, Doc. I trust my reputation is once more unsullied. And now, Mr. O'Shea, a word with you in your private office.
Why, I ain't got no office, but if we kind of crouch behind the bar down at the end, we can be private.
I don't think that will be necessary, but we must plan. We have great things to accomplish, you and I.
Doc showed the banknotes around town. There was no doubt. They were genuine notes on the Drover's National, not counterfeit. And O'Shea went on planning the development of the natural resources of Frenchman's Ford. It was about this time that O'Shea found he had other troubles. He showed up at Doc's place looking a little red at the back of the neck.
Doc, you gotta give me something.
Oh, what is it, O'Shea? You're back again?
No, it's my head and my stomach. Doc, I'm so mad I'm just coming apart. I gotta talk to somebody.
Now, look, hold on, O'Shea. What is it you want? Somebody to listen to your troubles or a dose of salt?
I don't rightly know. Doc, it is the most aggravating, outrageous...
Take it easy, O'Shea.
You know what happened? What with the town cut off by the flood, I had a pretty good business going on, and I ran plumb through the 4 barrels of whiskey I had in the place. So naturally, I go down to the express office to pick up a half a dozen more barrels. I just leave them down there until I'm ready for them, and Heath Tucker takes the storage out and trade.
Now, relax, O'Shea. You'll have a stroke.
Well, I'm likely to, I tell you. Doc, if you're called on to plug up a couple of bullet holes in Heath Tucker, you'll know who done it.
Just what is it?
Well, I went down there to pick up my stock in that little virgin.
What do you mean?
He says I didn't pay for the whiskey when it first come in. And since it ain't been claimed, my option on it run out.
That doesn't sound like Eve Tucker.
He offered me a price on it. Doc, do you know why I ain't never paid more than $12 since I opened the saloon?
You're not going to pay it, are you?
That's just the miserable part of it, Doc. I ain't got no choice. What with the town cut off with no whiskey, I close up.
Why don't you?
Cut off ever. See that miserable old coot his $100 a barrel and take a lickin'.
O'Shea, maybe I better go have a talk with Eve Tucker. There's something fishy in his whole deal.
I wish you'd do something, Doc. I already paid him $500. Doc, he's got me over a barrel.
It was that day that the rain finally stopped. And the day after that, Doc finally got the chance to go down and talk with Eve.
Would you say it was justifiable homicide if I took my .45 and went down and shot Eve Tucker full of holes?
Hold on, O'Shea. I think I'm getting to the bottom of this.
Well, I tell you, I'm getting to the bottom of my cash box. And you was afraid that Mr. Cale was a crook.
That reminds me, O'Shea. How much money did you give Mr. Cale? You were talking about $2,000.
Now, Doc, you're on the wrong track. I didn't give no $2,000. I didn't give him but 130 till his letter of credit could get through the flood.
130, huh? That just about comes out right.
Huh? What do you mean?
I just had a long talk with Eve Tucker. I pointed a few things out to him, O'Shea, such as he's got to keep living in this town when the flood goes down, and I think he saw the light. He told me he was acting as a salesman when he sold you that whiskey.
What do you mean, a salesman?
I mean, he didn't own it. Somebody came around and bought up a whole lot of whiskey from him for $130.
Now, who in town here would go around buying a barrel of whiskey for $130?
That's right.
And Eve Tucker was just selling the whiskey for this fella?
That's right.
Tail, that no good pusillanimous cutthroat. He bought my whiskey with my own money and sold it back to me at $100 a barrel.
Now, wait a minute, O'Shea. Hold on.
I'm telling you, Doc, get out of my way. I'm going to find that high-binding and horned toad and fill him full of lead.
Now, wait a minute, O'Shea. You won't find it.
What do you mean I won't? He can't get far. Not with them rivers roaring around town.
Old Baldy was down 3 feet this morning.
He got my horse.
O'Shea.
What?
I'm afraid he was riding your horse.
Doc, you got your close to $1,800. Counting the horse.
Well, then you've got the last lap.
You will argue. How's that?
I guess $4.
Forgot.
But in town says so. No doubt of it. This is a genuine $5,000 in Drover's National Bank notes.
Well, what's that? $3,200 in the deal.
Well, listen.
Doggone it, Doc. I gotta celebrate. Boys, the drinks is on the house. $1,000, I'll be doggone clopping his own trap.
Stage got through from Chisholm City. The stage is in.
Charlie, we're gonna celebrate.
Well. Say that never. A Drover's Bank in Chisholm City went bust.
What?
Yeah, it was all over a week and a half ago. There ain't a nickel left in of it on account of the flood.
He knew. Doc, he knew. He knew all the time.
Well, who's them swindlers? They ain't worth the paper they're printed on. Well, O'Shea, how about another? Still on the house?
Played by Carl Weber. Pablo by William Griffith. Heard in the cast, Jerry.
Like so fault. Sid Valley Radio's rhythm calling you home. Oh, Sid Valley, where the voice flaps like tide so ready. Oh, I
through the Devon airwaves as wild as the seas
to the old treble chatter, the voice is all matter. Oh, Sid Valley, where the stomps and claps like tides so ready. Valley,
the stomp is the anchor, the wind that will never fail.
Oh, Sid Valley Radio.